This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're going live right now. So we love talking about it. We are live on YouTube. This is the EXO Live Show with me, Brent Evans, and also Stephanie Evans.
Hello.
The Travis Kelce and the Taylor Swift. Well, on both sides of the camera, because we have special guests today, Dave and Ashley Willis, who are OGs of EXO,
yep.
But they're the real deal, and it's exciting to have you on the show today because I feel like we have to get with your publicist in order to kind of schedule you because you're always in high demand. Everyone wants to have Dave and Ashley on their podcast or on their stage because you guys are doing great things in the marriage space. So it's a pleasure to have you on the EXO Live Show.
We love you guys. I'm going to give you the sign that Travis Kelce gave Taylor when he scored a touchdown yesterday up in the box.
I love it.
And I'm going to take off my shirt like Jason Kelce. And
yeah. I want you to be shirtless like he was. Yeah, that was amazing.
And
in Buffalo.
Give a big roar. But today we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, but we have an opportunity for people in the queue. This is live, so if you have questions for Dave and Ashley, they will answer these live. And nothing is off limits because you guys are doing a lot of 14 days of sex, racy talk.
Yes.
And I think that we have an opportunity to answer any questions people might have. And I don't get embarrassed. I can talk about anything. And I'm sporting this EXO 2024 shirt. We got a lot of great merch coming in. This is a sweatshirt coming in for the EXO conference coming up. It's Valentine's Day weekend. And this is a Fellowship Church, Grapevine, Texas. It's going to be a fantastic event. It's sold out.
Mm-hmm.
It's been sold out for
a couple. I'm so excited.
We do have EXO at home, which is a fantastic way for you to enjoy the experience. It really is. If you want to have, like Dave said, a naked time with your spouse while watching a conference, a marriage conference, that's your opportunity.
That's the way to do it. You can't do that at the conference.
No, you can't do it.
Naked.
Can't.
Kicked
right.
out.
Not legally.
But you can do that. And we also have some merch that you can get for the home experience as well and some other things, digital resources that will help you enjoy it. But it's going to be a fantastic event. And then we have Frisco. If you can't make it to the Grapevine location, it is sold out. If you haven't gotten tickets, the Fellowship Church Frisco campus is now open for a Saturday half-day event. And Dave and Ashley will be there live for that event as well.
That's right.
We got you slinging back and forth between Grapevine and Frisco to bring the marriage Super Bowl.
Yep.
To
every ounce out of you guys.
We can't wait.
I love it.
And the winner is going to be all you who attend.
That's right.
That's right. So
everybody wins.
Who needs a Super Bowl ring? And you've got a wedding ring to put on each other's hands at the vow renewal.
That's right.
That was good.
You have to bring
that's
your own ring, though.
Well, time. That's so much fun.
We have. Thanks for setting that softball up for me, because we have customized EXO 2024 silicone rings available at the conference for
well,
you.
That's exciting.
I know. And it's got even the logo from the theme this year inside. So every year we're going to try to have customized. These are Qualo rings. So these are actually high-quality silicone rings. They're not just.
I'm sorry. I left mine at home.
Yeah, how dare you?
At first, it didn't match my outfit, so I had to.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's unfortunate.
Didn't match my outfit.
And she's trying to get me to put diamonds on it somehow, like some sort of bling.
Or surround it by diamonds. Like
or like a metallic or something.
Yes.
That was Lisa Young's suggestion as well. She was on the show and we were talking about
it.
She was like, you know, diamonds are a girl best friend. I don't know if silicone is. Well, okay.
Well, maybe for next year we could get that on the merch list.
But we do have customized rings, so you can get yourself a ring at the EXO Marriage Conference. But to start off today, we just got back from our vision retreat. We went to Florida. We celebrated our vision retreat together. I feel like I'm so far away from you. I don't know. This desk is used for so many things.
I got promoted to the desk. Can you believe it?
This is where Jimmy Evans talks about the Antichrist. And this is where Brent and Stephanie talk about marriage. This is a little bit weird setup today. This is the first time we've done this together on this setup. So the weather today, Stephanie?
It's a little rainy outside.
Yeah, it's coming in from the north. Back to Dave and Ashley.
Well, it's a big day in sports, Brent.
That's right.
That's good.
We had our vision retreat. It was fantastic. We tried to practice what we preached. We spent some time together, just us. praying through some significant things in our life. One of the things, you know, we pray through is some situations with our kids, you know, just making sure that 2024 was exactly what we felt like was going to be in their best interest, being prayerful about everything from friends to school to activities to sports, just praying for their hearts. You know, I got on Amazon and got a little devotional I could do with my boys, yes. Timmy Tebow, and yes. Trying to do some stuff with my boys and invest in them. And so it was really good for us to get away and just spend some really concentrated time figuring out what 2024 is going to look like for our marriage, for our finances, for our schedule. And I think one of our challenges last year was we were waiting to the last minute to schedule holidays. So we would not have anything planned for spring break or for summer vacation or you name it.
Yeah.
And so it's so difficult to
find
something.
And then we would have FOMO because everybody was on vacation. Yeah. Yes. And we're like, what are we doing? Nothing.
So this year we tackled that beast and we figured out a way to kind of just prepare ourselves and commit to things. Because one of the things that we deal with is it's hard for us to commit early on for things that are going to happen, let's say, for Thanksgiving holidays or even summer vacation, which is 6 months away. Because we can't commit because we always think, well, what if something happens and there's something, some sort of caveat, and we are locked into this, you know, travel schedule.
Yeah.
But that's part of the thing that we had to resolve this year is commit to some things.
So we planned out our whole entire year, spring break, Memorial Day, good. Summer, and Thanksgiving. So, yeah, so when that stuff comes up, now
you.
We have a plan, and, you know, it just helps to avoid any kind of conflict.
It does. So it's good to get on the heels of the vision retreat. And I can just say once again, everyone out there, to please schedule a vision retreat with your spouse. It is not easy to do, but it's super helpful. It was great for our marriage. We were able to just spend some time together without kids, without the frustration of daily grind of life. And it's not easy to do because now's a busy time of year for me. Mm-hmm. And our kids are in school. Everyone's got just everything going on. Mm-hmm. But I will say that just if you want to know some of the recipes for success in marriage, it is being disciplined to do things even when they're not easy to do. So the vision retreats are important. You can go find a vision retreat guidebook that you guys, Dave and Ashley, actually walk you through a whole, there's a course on visionretreat.com with a guidebook that makes it super easy, super practical for couples to invest in their marriage. We give you the tools here at XO to take all the guesswork out of it, and you can have.
And don't worry, I would just say, you know, if you feel like maybe you can't do it in January, I mean, there's never a wrong time. I mean, mm-hmm. we just choose to do it at the beginning of the year because it helps. But I would just say, just don't wait. Even if it's August, you know, September, whatever, just take the time and just do it. You'll still see the fruit from it.
Okay, I have a question for you, Ashley.
Okay.
You are an amazing woman.
Yes.
You had surgery 2 weeks ago, and I think it was hours after the surgery, you were sharing your experience. You and Dave were in the hospital talking about everything. So I'm saying something that's very public because it was on Instagram.
It's
I
very
saw
public.
It. You have the most famous uterus in 2024. So, but thanks for being so transparent and available for a lot of women out there to hear your story, to be able to see kind of what it looks like to go through that process. And you were very open about the experience. Dave, you looked very supportive. You looked very comfortable, very
yes.
supportive.
She did all the work.
I mean, you were basically in her bed, in her hospital bed with
he
her.
He was. And that...
I felt like she needed cuddles. But
yes.
Then I did get kicked out of the bed immediately after the video.
Like I couldn't move a whole lot. So I was like, ugh.
I was like on tubes and everything else. But she said, okay, that was...
But he did stay with me. Like at first I wasn't sure just because, you know, we got the four boys. I was like, I don't know if Dave needs to stay. It's uncomfortable. But he stayed in the hospital with me, and Dave's parents were so gracious to come into town and watch our boys while that was all going on. And it went well, thankfully. I did the robotic one, which I won't get into the details of that, but it's supposed to have a bit of a faster recovery. Yeah. And so far, so good. I mean, the main thing is just not pushing it too hard. And
if you've seen the movie WALL-E, the Pixar movie, exactly what the robot
WALL-E.
Looked like. He just rolled in. He was like, uterus. And, you know,
You're talking about the one that stuffs the trash inside of him? Or the Eva. The Eva one. The one looks like a capsule.
Exactly. Let's get the uterus. It was just like that.
Oh, okay.
Right. No, but it was, it's been good, and I'm very grateful that everything's gone pretty smoothly.
She is so much tougher than me, guys. I mean, like, I'm not exaggerating. Her pain threshold is 1,000 times mine. You know, she's been like ripped open, and she's not taking anything but Advil. I mean, I'm like, if I stub my toe, I call hospice. I'm like, just come, just keep me comfortable.
Morphine, please. So
I could at any time. Yeah. And so I don't know how she does it, but she's just a rock star. I mean, we're getting ready for the XO season, writing content, preparing for what's going to be a great season with XO and with churches we're going to be going to that have, you know, been booked through XO. She's in her final semester of a biblical counseling program. And so here she's like healing, like laying in bed and already reading books and working on stuff. And I'm just thinking, how do you do it all? I mean,
oh goodness, that's not true. You do stuff all the time. I'm just trying to keep up with
you. I mostly just watch her and think, how does she do it? But we're also proud of her. And thanks for the prayers and the encouragement,
yeah,
everybody.
Really,
thanks, Brent and Stephanie, for sending flowers. You guys are the best.
Yes, I still have them. They've been so
beautiful. Yeah, they're so pretty.
Yes.
So yeah, it's been a sweet time just seeing the outpouring of love and encouragement.
It has been. We've been blessed.
Thankful. She's going to feel so much better. Mm-hmm. She really had.
It'll improve my quality of life.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it was
so
a
much.
No-brainer. And even when the pathology came back, it was like, yes, this should have probably happened a long time ago. So, and Stephanie's been a great friend to me. A lot of people watching, you guys may not realize, like, we work with Brent and Stephanie, but they're also very dear friends of ours. And so she's listened to me talk about my uterus for years now. And so I'm really glad that she's been such a dear friend giving me great advice.
I told her it's going to be the best thing. I mean, your life is going to change because I had the same surgery and it's so freeing. It's so wonderful. So I'm excited
for you. You
really
encouraged me. I'm telling you, like that last conversation we had just a few months ago, I was like, I just need to do this.
Just
so
do
I'm
it.
Really grateful. Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad.
I have nothing to add to the uterus conversation, but I think that you guys feeling happy makes your husbands happy, which I've very much
well
endorse
said.
Whatever it takes to make you guys feel good, because we want you to have your best life ever. But it is important to pay attention to your body, what's happening with it. But I do want to applaud Ashley for going through that publicly, because I do think that a lot of women, if they were wondering, you know, if there was a solution, maybe they're having a similar issue, or, you know, they've just kind of been waiting a while to even talk to their doctor about the possibility of doing any kind of surgery, hysterectomy, whatever would be a part of that. I think you inspired a lot of people out there. So good job. Kudos.
So
I want to ask you a question. I don't want you to give too much away, but I want you to tease, because you guys are headlining the XO Marriage Conference your Friday night. You're going to be headlining the night we have with Jimmy Evans. And I want you to tease kind of what's on your heart, what you're going to be talking about, maybe share a little nuggets, little morsels to get people excited about what's going to happen at the conference.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, we're super pumped about this year. We've got two separate messages planned that are very unique, I think.
Different.
They're different from each other, and also different from anything we've done in the past at XO. So you want to tell them about a little trailer for the first
talk. So Friday night, we really want to do something interactive. So this is going to be one of the most interactive talks we've done, and it's going to center around kind of when we were brainstorming about it. I think I was calling it like, We were going between what would you do or what not to do, like, and it's in different scenarios in marriage. So there's going to be a lot of laughs, and there's going to be a lot of like conundrums where it's like,
what would you do?
What choice would I make? And we're going to involve the audience, and we're so excited. But it's going to center around healthy communication, which is literally every time we talk to a couple, almost, I would say 98.9% of the time, it's like it's a communication issue. It really is.
But even the scenarios that we're talking about, I know one is related to in-laws. And we have a book. Our newest book is about in-law relationships.
Right.
We'll talk about that. One's related to sex. So like,
there are going to be various scenarios.
It'll hit on a lot of different areas, but in a way that I feel like is interactive and fun and fresh. And then our second session, which we're going to do right before the vow renewal, and the vow renewal is my favorite part. And we're just honored to get to lead folks through that. I mean, just the times we've done it when Jimmy and Karen have led that, it's been so meaningful. And for us to have the opportunity to do that now, it's it's just truly an honor. But leading into that, we'll do our final talk. And I don't want to give too much away.
No,
but
don't
I
give
will
too much
say,
away. I don't want you to give too much away.
There are props.
We'll just say that there will be some props on stage that will create visual interest.
Is this G-rated?
That's what we'll say about
before
that.
A word is spoken. And yeah. So I'm excited. I'm just really excited. I'm excited to hear the other speakers. It's a great lineup.
Yes.
Every time I hear Jimmy speak, I was listening just this morning. I pulled up one of his old talks on YouTube just to kind of like get some insight, and it's just always so good.
It's
so I look forward
so
to
good.
Him. We've got some familiar faces coming back. We've got some new faces coming, and it's going to be just amazing. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for Brent and Stephanie. Thank you guys for the opportunities. We're just, we look forward to this, to the whole season, but we look forward to this event, the Cornerstone Grapevine event broadcast out to homes and satellite churches. This one weekend, I believe is our most like meaningful, fun, encouraging weekend of the whole year.
Yeah.
And we're just super excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
We love it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. It's sold out, but you can watch it on XO at Home. XOathome.com is where you can find that. Dave and Ashley have a new book out, but you guys are really producing a lot of content on your social media as well. Every day you guys, and you do your own social media, so you're constantly on there talking about different things. But what I want to talk about now is a little sex, because y'all just did 14 Days of Sex on the Naked Marriage podcast. And to say it was detailed would be giving it not enough credit. But I wanted to, hey, Taiwan, if you can put this up on the screen.
Oh my gosh.
The top searches for sex tips. So, you know, there's people out there that are having questions about sex, and they put them into the search engine for whatever reason. There is a private mm-hmm. mode that you should use more often than not if you're going to start searching for things that you want to make sure people don't see. But Google knows everything. So the top,
yes,
the top search term, according to this was from a few years back, was how to have sex. So you think that's the basics of life, but do you ever think that some people just don't know how to have sex? That's a confusing part.
Yes, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a part from this movie, this like funny movie I saw one time, where this girl was marrying this guy, and it was like a scam, and he was real kind of simple-minded, and she was like, "You've really never had sex before?" And he was like, "Nope, never." And then she said, "Well, then how do you know we're not having it right now?" And it's like, so maybe there are some folks that didn't have health class or didn't have parents.
Their parents never
talked about it. And they're unsure of you know, what it entails, what goes where. And
yeah, I mean, I think the bigger question, more than how to have sex, I think in general, like, I'm just judging from the questions that we receive, because that's our gauge usually when we put content out there. It's not always a how to have sex. I think they understand, like you said, what goes where. But we always get questions about how to, have an orgasm. How do you know if you've had an orgasm? Like, how do you know, like, you're enjoying sex? Like, that we get that question a lot.
Yeah,
and usually from women. I think women, it's a little more mysterious for some, because they've just not had someone talk to them about it.
Well,
and they're not aware of what's going on.
Like, orgasm for a man, like, there's kind of like visual evidence,
right,
of mm-hmm. of like, oh, that happened. And for women, it's the process is usually, you know, I mean, it's a different process.
It's right. And so that's why we actually, one of our episodes in the 14 days to great sex was, I think we have like a his and hers orgasm. Like, we talk about both of those. They're in some of the last days of that, which just ended yesterday. But I think more than anything, I think what couples need to do is just talk about their sex life. You know, I had somebody write me in the midst of this series on the Naked Marriage podcast, and it was a husband, and he said, when I watch you guys, I guess he watches this on YouTube, on the Dave and Ashley Willis YouTube channel. He said, when I watch you, he goes, I'm so excited that you guys can talk about this, but my heart grieves because I want to be able to talk that openly about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote him back immediately, and I was like, listen, it's taken us a long time to get to this point, and plus it's our job. I mean, we talk about this all the time, so we're very comfortable with it, but we didn't always talk about it this openly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you have to start somewhere, but that's the main thing, is it is it's a very intimate, you know, sex is intimate, obviously, physically intimate, but it's also, it's an intimate act just to talk about sex. And I think people don't do it because it almost seems scarier than the act itself. And so we try to talk about it, and XO, it you know, puts out all this different content about it to really give people, I don't know, a way to talk about it, like to start somewhere, because it's baby steps, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to please everyone, right? And I'm not talking sexually. Yes. It's hard to please everyone who has an opinion about what you should be doing in the bedroom. So,
for
I mean,
sure.
the emphasis that we have here at XO is you are in a monogamous relationship with somebody you love and you're committed to, and you want to enjoy things together. And everyone's built different. Everyone has different situations, scenarios. There's some people that have handicaps. There's some people that have, you know, physical issues. Some people have mental issues. Sometimes there's, you know, abuse in the past, sexual abuse. Sometimes there's infidelity in the past. So you're trying to kind of like put all these things in the mix, mm-hmm. and but still have really directional conversations about the real stuff about sex, which is. Like, a man typically is thinking about sex, like, don't think about sex, Dave, but you're thinking about sex, because we're talking about sex, but even beyond just, guys just are always thinking about sex, so it's, I told Stephanie, it's like, doesn't matter what time, when, where, I'm down, let's do it.
Right.
Even if I'm not in the mood, I'm good. I'll just clear my schedule.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And then what does your dad say, that women, it's like number 13?
Yeah, on the list.
Like after gardening.
Yeah, they're thinking about a lot of other things besides it.
That's great, yeah.
You know, and now that we're in the season of life we're in, we've been married almost 26 years, sex looks different now. But I think it's actually, because we know each other so much better and we've been together, it's actually probably the best season for our intimate life. Not to get too graphic, I don't want Stephanie to feel uncomfortable. But I just, but I feel that way. I feel like we know each other better and we're more intimate. So that physical connection, which was primary for me in the beginning, now it's more important for me for us to enjoy each other more than ever. And that looks to me like a lot more like me figuring out what brings her pleasure and us having conversations about it, which is sometimes uncomfortable, because a lot of times I want to talk about it the next day, like a play-by-play. I want to have a recap. Yeah, I want to have
you're watching the game film, circling things.
Yeah. How can I improve here? Should I put the leg up or what?
Right.
So it's, you know, it's one of those things where you want to improve. As a guy, you want to get better. You want to make sure it's all good. But for a wife, I don't feel like they're always about the performance as much as they are about the connection. Broad strokes of, like, you know, making sure that people understand that's not for everybody. Because there are relationships, because we always hear about it, where the husband is not as interested and the wife wants to have sex, and she's basically feeling like she's not sexy because her husband doesn't desire her. And for him, maybe it's just a performance issue or anxiety or ED. These are all things that are treatable. But it also could be that they just don't have a great relationship, and yeah. They're not willing to talk about the hard things that are keeping... I'm a child. I'm going to start saying sexual innuendos
if I don't
stop myself mid-sentence, because I was going to say something about talking about the hard things. And whatever. It's all good. We're adults here. We're having fun. Hi, everyone. This is XO Live. If you have questions for Dave and Ashley or for my childish mind about sex, we can answer those today. But Dave and Ashley are experts. Don't direct them towards me unless you want to
hear the real truth about sex.
You and Stephanie.
Ask Brent and Stephanie. I'm here for it.
So on this list of sex tips, search terms, how long should I last in bed? And is it okay to have sex every day? Or a couple of them. I think those are questions, not that having sex every day should be a reality, but, you know.
What is your advice on that? What do you guys say?
How long should it last and how often should you have it?
Oh, wow. We do get that question. Yeah. But how long should it last? We don't get that often. But, like, I mean, we talked about, you know, especially if, you know, I guess how long should it last? Hopefully that you both, you know, achieve the climax.
Right, yeah.
Like you both get pleasure from the experience, which, you know, usually partners, you know, one is going to climax before the other, but it's being patient. And usually it's oftentimes the man who will be, you know, needing to wait on his wife. And so that's how long, like, don't cut your spouse off there if you can help it. But there's things that can even help that, and we talk about that more on the podcast. But I would say, like, as far as frequency, we get that question all the time. I mean, absolutely. If you want to have sex every day, amazing. Like, that's awesome. As a couple, husband and wife, having sex every day, great. Maybe multiple times. We had somebody write us when we were talking about this once, and she was like, I mean, 2 to 3 times a day. Like, that's what we need.
And I think, what kind of supplements do you take?
Are you stretching in between? Like, that's a lot.
I want to know your regimen. Right? I want to know what vitamins you're
taking.
And
this was not a young couple. Like, they were probably like our age at the time when we were talking to them. And I was thinking, man, I'm really interested to know exactly. Yeah, like,
but no, it's there's a wide spectrum.
Wide spectrum. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like if it's not consistent, and by consistent, I would say, like, as a baseline, if it's not happening, I feel like, unless there's like some kind of medical emergency or there's like a deployment, there's distance between you, if you're under normal circumstances, two relatively healthy people, you know, under the same roof, and you're not having sex at a bare minimum of once a week, I feel like that's an emergency. I feel like, because there's really no reason for it not to happen. And if you put it off and it's not happening at least that often, then you're going to start going into these ruts where it's really, really it's just not happening. You're in a rut where it's not happening at all, and you're opening yourselves up to disconnection, to a temptation, temptation to have an affair, temptation to fall into porn or to connect with other people in other ways that aren't healthy. And we need that connection. Now, it takes a lot more than sex to build a great marriage, but it's nearly impossible to build a great marriage without it, unless you're just in a place where you physically, you can't do it. I mean, right now with Ashley's healing, we physically can't have intercourse while she's healing, you know, so we're trying to stay connected in every way that we can, but you're working around that, you know, that boundary right mm-hmm. now while she's healing, and you might have seasons of marriage like that. But under normal circumstances, I would say shoot, the goal is, if the two spouses have completely different drives, I feel like the goal, and this is a controversial thought for some reason for people, the goal is try to make the goal as much as the higher drive person wants to do it, instead of like meeting in the middle, like, well, they want to do it 3 times a week, I want to do it once a week, so let's meet in the middle and do it twice a week. Like, no, why wouldn't you just aim for the higher standard and say, no, let's aim for 3 and both benefit from it? And whoever has the higher drive in any part of marriage, like, which spouse has a higher drive for communication? If one spouse wants to talk an hour a day and the other spouse never wants to talk, well, we wouldn't just say, well, you just gotta never talk because one's not in the mood to talk and it's not right to pressure them to talk. With any other thing outside of sex, we wouldn't even think that way. We'd say, no, you gotta talk. That's part of marriage. Right. So get over it and talk, and you'll end up enjoying it and connecting. So aim for the higher standard. And I think both people benefit when that happens, as long as there's not manipulation tied to it, as long as there's not control.
Well, I think that happens. I think people, because y'all represent a healthy marriage, I think people do use sex as a tool, as a weapon, as a means of manipulation on both sides. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where if you withhold it on purpose because you're wanting to retaliate, or you just don't want to fulfill that need in
punishment.
Yeah, for punishment.
That's just
cruel. I mean, it's hurtful. Mean. It's not
very
healthy.
Cruel, yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people struggle, because once that starts happening and you haven't resolved it, it just piles up, and then you have a lot of resentment. Then it's harder than ever to get back into a rhythm where you feel free to even express, like, hey, I would love to be together on both sides. And then that's not met with, you just had it. Why would you make me feel like you just had it? Why do you need it again? And that's where a lot of guys feel ashamed or guilty, or a lot of women feel like a guy uses that to basically turn them into, I don't know, my dad uses the term in his book. I'm not going to say it on the air. I don't want this tied to me, but basically your wife's just a means of, he uses the terminology vaginal masturbation. You don't need your wife to just be there to give you a release. I don't want,
like, a warm body.
Yeah, I don't want that. Yeah. Is it warm? Yeah. Sometimes it's not even warm. Sometimes she's scrolling on Facebook that I've, you know, people are, you know, checking social media. So it's not a true connection. And I feel that's not what a guy wants either. So really, I think you guys represent a healthy marriage, and we do too. But there's a lot of people out there that are frustrated because they don't just want the orgasm and release. They want to feel connected to their spouse.
Yes.
And that's
absolutely.
And that's a challenge for some out there. And I think that's why you guys talking about it for an extended period of time on the Naked Marriage podcast is so healthy, because you're giving people the reality of marriage and allowing them to kind of process it and talk about uncomfortable things. And so I have a question in the queue from Gunner. And this is, what if your wife tells you that sex does nothing for her? So as a man with pride and with self, you know, esteem and wanting to, you know, pleasure your wife and not just be one-sided, if she's communicating that sex does nothing for her, how do you process that and go forward?
I know that's hurtful to hear.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, Gunner, thanks for the question. Man. And I'm sorry that you're dealing with, I know as a man, like the pain that would bring, the rejection that you're feeling personally. But the first thing I would say is, like, don't take it personally, because if she doesn't enjoy it all, it's usually rooted in something else. Mindsets related to sex, maybe a negative experience with sex in the past. Yeah. We have a book called The Counterfeit Climax that goes into detail about kind of just the mindsets that people have, many of them rooted in negative experiences or false messages that have created in them the inability to see sex in a healthy way or even to enjoy it. And usually when someone says, just sex isn't for me or I don't enjoy it, that's not rooted in something that's broken in their body. Like, their anatomy is fine. It usually is something that happened in their mindset and what they were taught about sex and the way that they were exposed to sex, and that they haven't been able to process that in a healthy way. And so I would say that reading that book together or listening to that audiobook together and going through the conversation guides in it might help you both get to the root of where her mindset related to sex has come from and how together you can work through that. But just let her know, like, listen, I want to connect to you. This isn't just about my pleasure. This is about our need as a couple and your need as an individual to be able to experience sex in a healthy way within marriage, the way God intended. And let's not settle for anything less than that. Let's not just say, well, we're just going to have a sexless marriage. That's not what God wants for either one of you. And so we've got a lot of resources beyond that book here at Exo Marriage. If you want to talk to someone, which I think could also be beneficial, there are therapists that specialize in sex therapy. We've interviewed one on the podcast. His name's Dr. Michael Seitzma, Christian man who specializes in sexual issues for couples. And then our mediators here at Exo, exomarriage.com/help. You can learn about our amazing mediators who are prayer warriors, who are trained and equipped to help couples work through their issues and find common ground. And I think it'd be beneficial to talk to them. So you don't have to figure this out alone.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. But it does need to be dealt with. It does need to be brought out into the light, so to speak, and tell your wife, like, listen, I don't shame you for the way that you feel. I want to help you through it, but let's work through it together, because you don't have to stay stuck.
And I just want to add too, I feel like kind of what I hear behind that is, like, I think you got to flip the question and say, well, what does do it for you? Like, when do you feel closest to me? Is it conversation? Is it doing some other kind of activity together? Is it when we're with the kids together, if you have children? Is, you know, what is it? Like find out what does it for her. Like, because I think she means, like, I'm not gaining that, like, what I hear, you know, without meeting with you in person, I hear that maybe she's not gaining that much pleasure from it. It feels like a chore. It might have to do with the season that you're in. I just heard from a mom just the other day saying, like, I want to love sex so much, but I am so tired because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I just feel like it's literally another thing, and I've been touched all day by these children, and to think about being touched again, I just need my personal space back. And I get that. Like, I've been a stay-at-home mom for years of our marriage. So, like, I think you gotta, I would ask her that question. Well, what does do it for you? Because you're trying to understand what does it for her, and then that kind of opens her up to being like, well, you know, I feel connected when this is happening. And you could say, well, sex makes me feel the closest to you. And so if we can both be serving each other in those ways and meeting that need of what does it for each other, then we're going to grow closer together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good advice.
Yeah, the biology of it, it's really for wives, they don't understand what happens when a man is connected to his wife physically. Like, I feel centered. I feel like there's no other woman. You know, I feel like I'm tethered to her whenever we have sex, and you share so many, like, you know, the endorphin rush and everything that happens, yeah. and all the chemical releases, they do for a period of time that connect you in a way that you can't get that any way else from a man's perspective. And for a right. wife, and I think that you know, she's got that gift of sex, that it should be used as a gift. It should be given freely. It should be able to be given in a way that's healthy. And I would say in my just two cents to this is that, you know, you can get inside her brain and turn her on a lot easier than you can get inside her pants and turn her on. Don't quote yeah. me on that. Don't quote me on that, yeah, Mark.
Brent, you're exactly right.
But yeah. I found that you start with their mind, and you start kind of getting them, you know, giving them communication, good communication, that's connecting with their heart. And then you're talking
or
to them.
Or serving them, speaking mm-hmm. to what Ashley said, you know, sometimes maybe she's overloaded with the responsibilities of the home, you know, helping to take mm-hmm. some of that off of her mm-hmm. so that she can open up. You know, one of the things that your mom actually talked about this for what she used to do is that even when she wasn't in the mood and her dad, you know, your dad wanted...
Don't talk about parents having sex, please.
They were going to be together that night. She said if she was out, you know, running around with the kids or doing errands, she would drop everybody off and then take a couple of extra drives around the block just to kind of yeah. get her mind in it and just prepare her heart and her body or whatever to be together with them. Mm-hmm. So it was just so helpful just to kind of prepare for that. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, no, it is helpful. That. I think that's a smart way to look at it rather than just thinking, well, you have to automatically just be in the mood and be ready to have an adventure in bed with me. It's like, you know, I need to be more in tune with what's going on in your mind, kind of turn off some of the things that are a distraction for you, close some of the open loops, and get you as, you know, close to distraction free as possible so you can focus on this guy. Like, I want you to be focused yeah. on all of this.
Yeah.
So in the queue, we got a couple of shout outs. We have Rose Miller. This is Myron and Rose Miller from Bristol, Indiana. They said they wanted to say thank you so much for all you guys do. We had the pleasure of meeting Dave and Ashley at the Exo Conference in Michigan. Such great people.
Oh, hey guys.
And then Jose says blessings, Exo 2024.
Thanks, Myron.
Jose and Veronica from Somerton, Arizona, hoping and praying we can make it to this 2024 to this year to a conference. And so there's people from all over the country that are tuning in and loving you guys. But one more question from the queue here. I'm so convinced I made a mistake getting married 5 years ago. This is from Utado. We became pregnant less than a month after marriage. I ended up birthing the mother I never thought was in me, thanks to the Holy Spirit. But my husband didn't shift to fatherhood. I feel like I had to carry our fam. So somebody feeling like they made a mistake getting married, how do you really kind of even go down a path to get them, their mind, back on track to thinking that this is a covenant marriage that God wanted, as opposed to them believing a lie that this is a mistake?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'd say first off, congratulations on your baby.
Yeah.
You know, that child is a precious gift, and God has a beautiful plan for that child's life, and that child would not have existed without this marriage. And so right off the bat, there's a blessing, a priceless blessing that's already happened as a result of this marriage. And I would also say I believe the most stressful season in a couple's life is a season when you have young kids. It's hardest to connect. You're exhausted physically, emotionally, it's financially often, and it's just difficult. I mean, it is just difficult. It's the time when you're most likely gonna I don't know, be in conflict and just be out of sorts.
Yeah.
And so it's not always gonna be like this, but it is important if you're feeling disconnected now to not go on autopilot, but to really, really work on it. But to work on it, you have to change first your own mindset, because the only part of your marriage you can change is you, really, your perspective and your attitude. And if you're looking at your spouse saying, I made a mistake, this person's a mistake, then that's what you're going to see every time mm-hmm. you look at them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can change your mindset to say, this person's a gift. I mean, this person was brought to me by God, and we're in a tough time right now, but I'm so thankful we're going to get through this. He's not where I want him to be right now, but Lord, grow me in the ways I need to grow. Help me to love him the way you love him. Help me to encourage him and help.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Call out the good in him that I know is there. And if you'll try those things, it doesn't take away the fact that he obviously has a lot of work to do too, but you can't control that part.
Right.
Do the parts that you can do. And I think even while you're waiting on him to grow up in the ways you want him to, your own perspective and your own attitude is going to improve. And it's going to be better for you. Like you're going to feel better. And so I would start there. I would say do things to invest in your marriage. Try to get a babysitter or some and get out. Try to, you know, come to one of our events if you can. But do things to intentionally just connect as a couple, not just as mom and dad. Because maybe he's feeling like, you know, in fatherhood he's lost his wife. But
yeah,
make it a point to stay connected as husband and wife and as best friends and lovers and all of that.
And I would add too, I know she said like she, by the grace of God, you know, because this, I can tell the pregnancy was a surprise. So all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're off to the races. We're mom and dad now too. I would say, you know, she's adjusted well. I think that maybe his mind and his heart haven't quite come around. And I think we can unknowingly, as wives and mothers, cut our husbands off from things they could help us with when it comes to parenting, because we'll just take it on and we do it and we keep on doing all the things because we can. But I can tell that you don't want to do it all on your own and you want him to enter in. And I would just tell you, you got to kind of help, let him know what he can help with and keep on asking him, keep on showing him and making him feel needed and wanted and bringing him into that parenting picture. And I think too, that he's going to show you too, that he can do more than he's been doing. And also, I can tell right now that you don't respect him because he hasn't stepped up, and he probably feels that. I mean, yeah. Man, does he feel that? And you would say, but Ashley, I'm sure, and I get it. Like you're like, but he hasn't been respectable lately. Like he's not stepping up as a dad and I'm having to carry this load and my heart goes out to you. But I just would encourage you to give him tasks and moments and where he can step up to the plate and then call out the good that you see. And I'm telling you, you will see your man rise to the occasion, because more than anything, there's been research behind this. You know how as women, we want to hear, I love you. Men obviously want to hear that too. But when they did all this research on men and how kind of what makes them tick, the phrase they love hearing the most from their wives is like, you know, you're so good at that. You're able. Mm-hmm. I respect you. And thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, say those things. I mean, obviously, when you say I love you, and women, we want to hear I respect you, thank you, and all those things too. But to the level, it was different in men and women. And so I just encourage you, help to build him up in that way, even seeing the smallest thing, and you'll see that praise behavior is repeated behavior.
So good.
Very good. Great response. Okay, we're going to start a new segment that I just came up with on the fly, because this is Exo Live, and I have no idea if this is even working. But I'd like to throw some questions there, and I call it Let's Get Real, because I want this to be short enough for a reel, right? So this is going to be a compressed. I'm going to ask you the question, and you're going to give me the quickest possible path to get it quick. So you ready for this new segment I just came up on the fly, and we haven't even talked about it? Let's get real. Okay. 1, 2, 3, let's go. You've got a kid sleeping in your bed, a toddler sleeping in your bed. Starting over. Let's wait. It's getting real. Starting again. Exo Live. Okay.
Take two.
2-year-old sleeping in your bed. You're pregnant. You have guests staying in your house. How do you have sex with your spouse?
Oh, wow.
You know, pioneers used to do it like in
they did
a one room cabin with like 9 kids. You know, they would just be like, I don't know, look away. I don't know what they would do, but they would do it. So I would say get a pack and play.
Yes.
You know, give that kid whatever you need to do.
Can it
give
be
that
exciting?
Kid an iPad.
Can it be exciting though? I mean, can you make it spice it up a little bit with that kind of, I mean, is it something where you're able to kind of work with that scenario to make it even a little bit hotter or spicier, or is it something where you're just trying to get it done?
Well, I think that's part of the spice, the danger of it, you know, getting hot, the child waking up.
I hope my kids never watch this, but there's been times when our kids were younger that they sleep with sound machines and stuff. Like, you know, we were able to be together. They were out, you know, and they had sound machines and we would be quiet. But now they're older. Our youngest is 10, our oldest is 16. And there's no chance of them not, like, you know, prying or wanting to. Mm-hmm. What's going on in there? And so we have to be a little bit more strategic about it whenever kids are around. But I was just going to say, you know, in that situation where you have a cohabiting, you know, child in the bed, 2-year-old, and you're pregnant, and you've got a lot of guests in the house regularly, how do you prioritize it in a way where you can practically find a space, a time? Is it okay to do it on the closet floor? Is it okay to do it on the bathroom rug? Is it okay to do it in the shower? I think that's absolutely the kinds of things I would be talking her into. Hey, listen, we're gonna go into the laundry room, and you're gonna act like you're doing laundry, but we are gonna be doing some laundry.
I'm for
you're
it.
You're just gonna christen each part of the house.
We're gonna go to the laundry room immediately after this recording.
Yes, you are. You know, I've heard that the laundry, the washing machine can actually kind of help. I've read that somewhere.
That's what they say.
But we've never tried that. So I hope we get some sponsorships from any kind of appliance company out there that wants to, Maytag, that wants to sponsor the podcast.
And this one's sponsored by Maytag.
Yeah.
Bringing your sex life, cleaning it up in the bedroom and in the laundry space.
Room. Yeah.
Let's get real segment has failed already.
It's gotten weird. It went from real to weird.
My second,
real weird.
Real weird. It's a real weird segment. My second question, and this is something that our great producer, Taiwan, the great and powerful Taiwan, said to ask you this question. It's a great question because somebody wrote this in. I found myself listening to the podcast about pre-ejaculation. This question is going to last longer than a reel, so I'm going to ask you this question. But I found myself listening to the podcast about pre-ejaculation, men having an orgasm early, and I became very self-conscious because of how hard it seems like it takes my husband to orgasm while we are having sex. It almost almost seems like he has to close his eyes and really focus in order to orgasm. We both agree that we have a good sex life. We are both in our middle 20s, married, and have 2 littles. We are both healthy physically, but I'm starting to feel insecure as we just had a baby this summer, so I'm still trying to recover from postpartum and having a hard time with the extra chub, stretch marks. But overall, I'm not an overweight person, look cute for my husband, lingerie and makeup smell nice. Why does my husband take so long to orgasm? Is it me? Am I the problem? Because when you're a guy struggling with premature ejaculation, you're supposed to be thinking about baseball or, Harry Carey or somebody that's going to be like the most off-putting thing related to sex. But this guy's probably...
Now the Cowboys are going to let us down every year.
Oh, my gosh. That is a buzzkill. But this obviously is a situation where she's wondering if, like, he's actually having a hard time even climaxing with her because it's a situation. But I would say that, you know, again, different people are built differently. But what do you guys say?
I have some questions, okay? And first I would say, are you using condoms? Because sometimes it'll take longer. I mean, right? We talked about this. Yeah. Maybe the sense he's might be closing his eyes, just trying to really focus the mental part of it because the sensitivity has been taken away. That might be a possibility. I don't know, too, if there's been pornography in the past. I'm not saying there is. This doesn't mean there is. So please don't misunderstand me. But I would just ask in a really loving way and say, like, is there something mentally going on there? It is not you. I think
no,
that,
it's not you. That's the
no.
That's the main takeaway. Is like this is not. You're doing everything right.
Right.
I mean, he is blessed to have you as his partner and wife. And just because he's not struggling with premature ejaculation,
right, which is a good thing.
I mean, doesn't mean like I don't want to plant insecurities in people's minds of like, oh, I wasn't even thinking about this, but now maybe I should be insecure.
Right.
We're saying there's a huge spectrum of where folks are.
There is, and I would say too, I know that some, like, is there a TV on in the background when you're having sex? Because for some people, if there's any other sounds or noises or visual stimulations, it can be like, if you're what I mean by that, obviously not pornography. We obviously have talked about how don't bring pornography.
Well, the longer question, this was actually a shorter version of that question. The longer portion of it did say that he has had trouble with watching porn in the past. Okay. She's walked in on him a few weeks ago watching it, and she was under the impression that he would be honest if he was slipping up again. And, you know, he was found watching it again. She was heartbroken with that. In that regard, if he has images in his mind, if he's dealing with pornography, should she be trying to entice him into the bedroom, or should she kind of give him a chance to find some counsel, find some accountability, kind of get on the right track mentally before she subjects herself to that kind of misery of thinking the whole time?
Oh, wow.
Is it me, or is he thinking about the images? Is this going to lead to him asking me to do weird stuff in the bedroom? What would you say to that? Easy question, I know.
That's a great question. And that does answer some of my questions.
Yeah, thank you for the context.
I would say, man, we've been through this. I mean, it's part of our testimony.
We talk a lot about it, yeah. And I get it. I would say, in his mind, like, it's not necessarily that he's, like, trying to lock in on these pornographic images during sex. If anything, he's probably trying to get them out of his head during sex, because he wants to be present. But the fact that he's put them in his mind.
Well, and she said she just caught him.
Yeah, she just caught him. So this is a fresh issue. Yeah. And so I know what that does. Like, I've been there. I know how that implants images in your mind and really sabotages you emotionally and sexually. And so he's got to get free from porn. And, you know, we have tons of resources, podcast episodes. You know, we talk about porn blocking and accountability software. Our book, The Counterfeit Climax, goes deep into kind of the physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual aspects of pornography, how to break free from it, how to heal when you're the spouse who's been sinned against because of porn.
Do you think there should be a time, because we have talked about this before, like a time of abstaining so that he can get his mind kind of in a better place, and also that she's not having, because I understand that mental game, like, oh no, he's closed his eyes. Is he thinking about some pornographic image so he can, you know, climax? And am I, like what your dad talked about, Bren, am I just the warm body that he's like acting out the, you know, fulfilling the fantasy or whatever? I really think at this point, I would encourage you all to talk to a counselor. I really believe this is something that you both need to get on the same page about. And I think it would be good to put it all out on the table. You know, a term they use whenever there's been a breach of trust is full disclosure. Mm-hmm. He needs to be completely honest and in agreement with you that this has got to end, and then put those boundaries in place. And that might be that for a time, it's different with every couple. We discourage long periods of time without sex, if at all possible, because we've just seen where this can really bring distance. But at the same time, I understand where there might be a short time where, you know, you both are just trying to get on the same page, to get right with the Lord.
If it's intentionally for healing and not for punishment.
Exactly.
Because then that creates, you know, resentment. But I do think there can be wisdom in, for a period.
Yes.
To just kind of step away and say, like, listen, let's get a handle on this porn thing.
Yeah.
For both of our sakes, because it's otherwise we're just going to keep kind of wounding each other.
Well, because he's going to keep on falling back to it, like you were in that cycle, and then she's going to keep on wondering, well, does he desire me, or is he just playing out these images? You know.
Yeah, we have a podcast episode where we interviewed a counselor who specializes in kind of sex addiction related things, and we talk about porn. We talk about kind of the appropriate way, if you're going to abstain for a time, what that should look like, and you know, if you looked back through the episodes, that would be one.
Is that Sexpectations Part 1, I believe, right?
Maybe.
I think that's what it's called.
We can put it in the show notes.
I'd have to go back and look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was helpful.
Yeah.
That's good.
It gives kind of a path.
Some good insights there. But we're praying for you. Our ministry's here to help you and couples that are going through stuff you're going through. And we've been there too, and you're going to get through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great advice. And I would say, if he's gratifying himself to a certain style of porn, and then he's trying to, you know, his wife is in bed and he's sort of like not being able to gratify himself in the same way with his wife, I think that she needs to understand it is not her, that he is probably dealing with a lot of confusing sensations, because he's programming his mind with a certain style of pornography that he's not able to recreate in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And that's a real thing. And then also, obviously, you know, if the world is open and you can just look at anything and you can pleasure yourself with any sort of stimulus, then it's out of balance and it's unfair because it's not the same standard for both.
Yeah, it's an unfair expectation to put on her mm-hmm. to perform exactly. like that. But I think you're right. Yeah, I think that they could use some healing mm-hmm. on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And again, I think that if they can get through that, the sex, the good thing is if they can get healed and get connected, the sex could be better in the mm-hmm. future.
Because
they will have walked through something significant, and that brings you closer than you really can understand. I know it's hard to feel those feelings now, but we've seen it over and over again. Once you get naked, like you guys talk about, the transparency, open and honest, and you start sharing your heart, and he starts talking about why he's doing that, and she starts hearing his heart, and then she starts to reveal to him that she does desire him, and she does want to include whatever would bring him, you know, greater pleasure, that's safe and it's okay. And then they can start having really good conversations about it. But with accountability and with a certain level of heart healing, you know, there's not a lot of opportunity for her to feel safe and for her to feel like it's always gonna be a wondering moment of, is he thinking about me right now? Right. And why can't he climax? Mm-hmm. So this mm-hmm. real weird segment I'm doing, which is totally off the rails. The last question I was going to ask is, your most popular video on EXO Marriage is about oral sex. And we watched a movie recently. It was on TV. She's going to be Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And there's this scene, the actor I forgot from 30 Rock, where he's a newly married and he's at the bar and he's talking to these guys there at the bar. And he's like,
They haven't had sex.
He was like super nervous. His wife was really excited about sex, and she was wanting him to do, I guess, some oral sex things. And he was like, "Why did God put a playground right next to a sewer system?" So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. It's very confusing for a lot of people, but it is. Oral sex is a feature of sex for a lot of people, and I think that it's something that, again, if everyone's in agreement and there's some people that enjoy and some people that don't, that's okay. I don't feel like there's anything off limits when there's two of you that agree on something in the bedroom, just the two of you. But yeah, if you read the comments on that YouTube video, mm-hmm. I mean, it is, everybody has an opinion about oral sex, and the people that hate it, oh man, they will give you all sorts of, you know, scripture and theology and biology of why God didn't design it that way. But if you talk to people who enjoy oral sex, they'll tell you all the reasons why they like it, and there's a lot of reasons to like it. So I'm just saying to our audience out there, Dave and Ashley, that video is actually a great video to watch. But also, how do you approach that subject now with couples, just in general, in regards to oral sex? How do you condition it to where it's not mandatory or forbidden, but it's a place of enjoyment? How do you do that?
I'm
so
sure
well?
You get that question all the time.
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think usually the question is more like one spouse who really wants it and mm-hmm. the other spouse doesn't, and just kind of like managing that dynamic of making the spouse who's uncomfortable, like trying to get to the root of why they're uncomfortable with it. Were they like taught that it's dirty or wrong when they were little, and then not shaming them for their mindset or their preference, and also not shaming the spouse who's more adventurous, so mm-hmm. to speak, in the bedroom and wants to explore and celebrate the freedom that God gives us, and oral sex being one of the expressions of that. And, you know, it, like with most parts of marriage, most marriages have one spouse who's more excited about this than the other. Mm-hmm. And that's something to navigate. And just, you know, frankly, it's usually the guy who wants it more, in terms of who's writing us, at least.
Yes, who writes us.
And so
women too, though.
But women too. Yeah. Like, I mean, there are women that want their husband to perform oral sex on them, and you know, he's not comfortable. And
well, because usually not comfortable can be a lot of things. It could be kind of that you just, like you were saying, Brent, they're just they've been taught that it's wrong biblically, and they can't get that out of their mind, and they're like feel like they would be doing something against God. And all that we found, you know, and obviously you need to have peace in your heart with what you're doing and talk through that with your spouse. But biblically speaking, I mean, if you go to a Song of Solomon, I mean, they're being adventurous, right? I mean, that like we have a lot of leeway when it comes to just exploring and enjoying each other's bodies, just the two of us, right? We're not bringing in pornography or any other people. I think that, you know, oral sex can be something you enjoy, but I think for both men and women, when they write us, they'll say like, it's a texture issue. They just feel degraded. Like remember we worked with a couple years ago where, do you want to describe it? Where I think the wife at one point had been comfortable with it, maybe even prior to marriage, like, and then all of a sudden she like equated, like she all of a sudden cut that off completely. And her husband was like, what?
Yeah. What?
Like, what's going on? Well, they become Christians.
Right. And they at becoming like, Christians, and they, and you know, he was really honest, and he was like, since becoming a Christian, he said, every part of our life is better except for our sex life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, because before, you know, we were doing stuff like wrong. You know, we come from a lot of sexual brokenness in our past, but she was open to anything and was very mm-hmm. free with her body and very, you know, just enjoyed sex. And I did too. And then now that we're Christians and she's trying to allow God to redeem and make us whole and all this, make us new. Instead of embracing the freedom we have as a married couple with sex, she's processing through kind of how she's misused sex or how it's been mm-hmm. misused on her. And there's all this stuff now that she doesn't want to do. And frankly, she has just gotten like really boring and timid in the bedroom.
And, like, I think she would only do one position and not entertain anything other than intercourse in that one position.
And so like
but there was some trauma there on her part.
Yeah, there was trauma.
She was dealing, so we didn't know that.
So we talked through that. Yeah. And again, like our book, The Counterfeit Climax, I do think it's a great resource for couples that are navigating that or any host of issues related to sex. But she wasn't trying to deprive him.
No,
she, in her mind, I think she was trying to give him more of herself mm-hmm. because she didn't want to be that person that she was before. But in his mind, he's like, wait a second, you were used to be free and you were free with these other guys too. And now like I'm your husband and this is the one place where we can be free and you're holding back and you're missing it. And it was a real tension point in their marriage. And I think to some degree, a lot of couples will go through some version of that.
And she just had to reconcile it. Like she just said, can you give me time to reconcile my sexual past and how I reconcile that, but also honor you. And part of it was she, I think, felt guilt and she needed to forgive herself and know that God has forgiven her and she is free in Christ. But it was something they navigated. And I think they did come to a place of deeper intimacy and eventual exploration of each other and not having any shame associated with it. But there was shame on it. And I'm sharing this story because I do think for a lot of people, that's why they have that attached to it. Maybe in their past, they did do that. And now they're like, I don't know how to reconcile this as a married woman. And is it okay? Like, it just feels a little wrong. And so it's just going to take two of you really talking mm-hmm. about this, praying about this. I mean, pray about your sex life. Like,
yes.
God created it. You can pray about it. It's a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's an education situation as well, because I think a lot of people, and we're about to wrap up, but we were enjoying our time with Dave and Ashley talking about sex. So, you know, it's one of the situations where if you grew up, obviously, and you were experienced with sex and you'd had sex before marriage and maybe watched pornography, you may have an imagery there that you understand the anatomy. But there's a lot of people that come into sex, they grew up in the church, it was forbidden, it was talked about almost like derogatory, like this is not something you'd ever do until you get married. So they're very, very ignorant when they come into the marriage. And so for the first time,
not educated on it.
If a woman's seeing a penis for the first time on her honeymoon, she's going to be a little freaked out probably, because she's going to be like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, right. And it's all new. And
they're not attractive. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. So, and then for a man, the female anatomy is also a little bit of a mystery whenever you're trying to figure out more than just the obvious of just, you know, putting the parts, putting the male part and the female part. So I would say that I would encourage couples to just be a little bit more educated with your decisions. Don't just assume that because, you know, you heard something in church or you heard a friend say something that it wouldn't be something you would enjoy. If you both agree upon it and it's not harming each other's body and you both enjoy it, I don't know why you would talk yourselves out of something like that that's not forbidden. Because you can use scripture all day long as much as you want, but if you want to get so legalistic about sex, you really can only do it for procreation purposes if you want to get that legalistic. I mean, if you go down that path of, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, the case can be made that the only time you should have sex is whenever you're trying to procreate. And once sex is no longer needed for procreation, then you don't have it anymore. Now that's kind of the way that if you go down that path, you start to talk yourself into weird things that really limit you from pleasuring each other and really enjoying each other's bodies and doing more with what God created, the intimacy, the romance, the fun. And it doesn't have right. to be every time, but it should be something where at least you've checked it off a list that you've tried it and not just hating on it without ever trying it, because you know you never know, you may enjoy it, but again, with your spouse in a monogamous relationship inside the marriage, it's all good. So thanks for being open and honest today, guys, with the subject matter at hand, and thanks for being on the XO Live show. We love you guys, and we're coming up on a very fun season in the February month. We have XO Conference, obviously, but you guys are going to be at Church of the Highlands with Jimmy Evans and Dan Leanne at their marriage conference, and that's going to be a fun event. So if you want to find out all of the upcoming information for calendar dates, all of our XO tour stops, what's happening, go to XOMarriage.com. I do want to say that we are a 501c3, so if you are a person out there who believes in marriage, we absolutely need your help more than ever. So if you want to be a part of XO, please go to XOMarriage.com/give, and you can give any amount you want. Monthly recurring gifts are helpful for us to build a base of support. But really, it is something where a lot of times people find us when they're hurting, and then they get help. And we want to be here for everyone that's hurting in their marriage. But also, we want to train the next generation of people getting married. We have young people that watch, and we need your help more than ever to educate people. This is marriage for the masses. XO is marriage for the masses. We want to reach everyone we possibly can with the good news of marriage and help people keep their minds fresh and renewed about how they can have one of the best experiences ever with marriage. It's possible. It is possible with people like Dave and Ashley Willis guiding you from their wisdom and their expertise and their many years of marriage, as well as all of our other speakers and writers here at XO. We could use your help. So go to XOMarriage.com/give. Go to XO at home if you want to watch the XO conference from the convenience of your home. And then Dave and Ashley, all of the good details at Dave and Ashley Willis on Instagram, at Marriage on Facebook. You guys go to Stevens Creek Church in Augusta, Georgia, and you guys are just, I know, loved everywhere you go, but Stephanie, I definitely love you. You're dear friends of ours, and we're so appreciative of you.
We love you guys. We're so thankful for you. And it is, whether hanging out digitally or at a restaurant or wherever, it's always, always a pleasure.
There's no lag.
Yeah, that's right. All right, y'all. We love y'all. So, XO Live, thanks for joining us. Everyone, thanks in the queue for putting your questions in there. If we didn't get to them, we'll try to get to them next time. And we'll be back next week. Actually, I'm going to be in D.C. next week, so we won't be here next week, but we'll be here in 2 weeks. And that's when we are going to even turn up the volume more for the conference. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about right as we go into the conference season. But thanks for tuning in today. Everyone, have a great week. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.